Welcome to the ISP Connect podcast. We are dedicating this podcast to DRAM. DRAM, the memory in your servers, is of course an essential choice to make to use your servers now, to make to use your servers for the long term. And in this podcast, we're going to be looking at the complicated choices that you have to make. And we have on board two experts from Kingston Technology, Ferdy van der Zwaag and Adrien Viot, two names that are familiar to the people who have been listening to these podcasts before. I'm going to start right away with the first question. Adrien, I would like to start with you. Adrien, DRAM is changing very fast. In a nutshell, what's going on in the world of memory today?
Yeah, thanks for having us. There's a couple of transitions that are happening currently. As some of the listeners may know, we're reaching the end of the speed threshold for DDR4, which is, as per JEDEC, 3200 megahertz. So we're reaching the end of the life. So now the modules available on the market are going at 3200 megahertz. And the only way to kind of for a server customer to go beyond those speeds is to move on to the next memory technology, which will be DDR5. And this memory technology will be available towards the end of next year. And there's also another transition happening in terms of the chips, the DRAM chips component. We are right in a process of shifting between 8 gigabit chips to 16 gigabit DRAM chips. That means that we are able to double the density of a chip that allows you to build higher capacity memory modules. For example, registered DIMM with 8 gigabit chips could go up to 32 gigabytes. And now we are able to build registered DIMMs, which are 64 gigabytes. One negative impact of that transition is that some systems, some older generation systems, may not be compatible with that those new generation chips. So this is something, you know, we have been educating our customers for the past, you know, 6 months to a year that this transition is happening. And obviously this will have an impact on customers on whether they want to shift to or refresh their current hardware, because upgradability in the future may be limited because the supply of those 8 gigabit chips is going to phase out slowly. So towards the end of next year, it will be more difficult to get hold of those 8 gigabit chips.
So it's on two separate areas here. You're talking about the speed on one side, the transmission speed of the data, but also of the capacity, the memory capacity that you can put in a single unit in one slot.
Yeah, so it's I would say the main benefit of this transition is really the added capacity. So you are doubling the capacity. To give you an example of a laptop, you know, maybe 2 years ago, a laptop with two memory slots, the laptop would take unbuffered DIMM. The maximum capacity we could reach with an unbuffered DIMM was 16 gigabyte per memory module. So your two memory slot laptop, you will limit it to 2 times 16 gigabytes with 8 gigabit chips. Now, thanks to those 16 gigabit chips, we're doubling the density. Therefore, your laptop with two memory slots will be able to have an overall memory capacity of 64 gigabytes. But the very important question is to double check the compatibility, because those older generation laptops, which are around 2 years old and older, may not be compatible. And this is something, obviously, Kingston can help in terms of, you know, researching whether the right part number and researching whether the system is compatible with those new memory chips. That transition is triggered by a natural technology evolution in the semiconductor industry. This is nothing new. It happened with DDR3 when we went from 2 gigabit chips to 4 gigabit chips. And that meant that the early generation DDR3 systems were not supported by that transition to 4 gigabit chips. So that's a natural evolution that happens in the semiconductors. So the semiconductors build wafers, and by shifting and lithography, moving on to the next lithography, they're able to cramp more transistors per die. And that allows you to build, for example, for processors to have more efficient processors with more cores, more threads. But on the DRAM side, that allows you to have higher density chips. But those higher density chips are not compatible with all platforms out there. Therefore, you have to check the compatibility. And this is where Kingston, that this has been our message for the last year, to educate customers on this topic and to also help customers double check that that compatibility. In terms of memory usage, you know, it all depends on kind of applications you're using. Obviously, there are a lot more people now working from home because of, you know, COVID, are very grateful to be able to now have laptop with 64 gigabyte or 128 gigabyte of memory. If you have a laptop with 104 memory slots, you know, if you're using video editing software or any types of software that are very memory hungry, then yeah, it is great news for these guys. But you have to double check the compatibility. Yeah.
Ferdi, you work with customers, you're on the commercial side at Kingston. From a first time buyer, what is the conversation that I need to have with you?
Hey Simon, good to be back. Yes, I think it's not basically a first-time buyer. It will be an existing buyer. I think the problem itself is basically guiding a customer through the process of buying the right type of memory. Just like Adrian already said, there is a lot going on, and basically check on compatibility. Check on if it's basically the current technology from today will work in the machines that customers is using. And yeah, it's more complex, actually, indeed, with just simple use a memory DIMM and then install. It's basically looking at those parameters, just like given by Adrian saying, from looking to the latest products, but looking to that compatibility, and indeed combining with the right capacity and request on speeds. So it's going in that hand in hand and asking the right questions towards to their needs of what are they going to use it for.
And are the users, are the customers already well educated in this? Is this an area that most people that you work with, that they have the expertise in, or?
They have the expertise. The only thing is, indeed, is what already said, is that when a transition like this happening, and it could happen indeed, is that you're having systems who are suddenly are losing support later on in the coming period, meaning by the end of next year. That maybe kind of comes in a situation where you start to stock or move to new systems and moving to a qualifying different part so that you have a part what you could use for a longer period.
Adrien, as you've described it, we have two parameters here. We have speed and we have capacity. And are they completely separated fields, or is there also an overlap? Is there always a trade-off? What is changing there?
Generally, there's you have to kind of know what the application is going to be doing and what resources you need to make the application run the best. So two or three aspects we can look at. We can look at the performance, the memory throughput, which will be affected by different factors. So we have the capacity, and we also have the, I would say, the kind of power. You know, some of our customers, they are looking into, they'd like the capacity, but maybe not run the memory and not draw as much power as possible because of, you know, power restrictions maybe in their area and things like that. So I always like to use the analogy of a highway when you're talking about memory. So a highway has different lanes. So the first thing to bear in mind is the architecture of your platform. So is your platform maybe an Intel Cascade Lake, which has six memory lanes per processor, six memory channels? Or is it maybe an AMD platform, a ROM AMD platform, which has eight memory lanes? So think of the highway and think of your memory modules as cars, and you're putting cars on each lane. To get the best throughput, you want one car per lane. That way, the cars can travel fast and you get the best memory throughput. If you start piling up all the cars into one particular lane, and then leaving the other lanes empty, which would basically be translated as an unbalanced memory configuration, then you will be wasting the resources. You know, you bought a brand new server which has all those lanes available, and you're putting all your cars into the same lane. So you're clogging up the traffic in one lane. Therefore, the cars have to slow down. So as you fill up the server, you will be the memory will slow down because, so you have to make a choice. What do you want? Do you want the memory throughput, or do you want the capacity? So if you fill up the server with memory modules, the memory will have to clog down. There's another point that is important is the processor also dictates the memory of the memory speed. And this also is translated in the price of the processor. If you go for the highest end processor, you will get the best memory speeds available. If you're going for a lower end processor, then the memory will automatically clog down because the processor cannot handle the fastest memory. So there are different choices to make. You also have to think about the future. What if I want to add memory in 6 months' time? Or what if I want to upgrade in 1 year's time? If you have filled up the server with low capacity memory modules, you will be kind of stuck. You will have to throw away those memory modules and then buy new memory. So there's a lot of different aspects, and this is something Kingston help customers, with, because like Ferdy mentioned, memory is not just a matter of plugging a certain capacity and that's it. It works. You have different types of memory. You have different types of configurations you can use. There's a lot of different problems you have to, or challenges you need to deal with.
And coming back to Adrian as well, and going back to the highways, we're almost a navigation system, helping you, guiding through those highways, and with the right parameters, saying from, okay, you want to go to that direction, then follow this route, follow this types of memory with that kind of needs.
It's a matter of filling the lanes properly, but it's then also a question of, are you going to put a truck or are you going to put a car in that lane? And if I understand correctly, it's even, do I want a truck with a Ferrari engine or do I want a regular truck?
Yeah, and even you could go further on that side by making, are there any roadblocks? Are there any speed limitations? Are there any other things what you could probably see on that particular road? I think, yeah.
Adrien, you were talking about the possibility that people would have 8 lanes at their disposal, but they would put all the cars in one lane, to keep with the same allegory. To which extent does the memory itself make decisions? Does the user have to instruct and have to configure everything, or is the memory itself capable of making some decisions on how to be the most effective and the most efficient in the way it uses the system?
Well, the first thing to mention is the most server boards now are color-coded. So for example, if you have blue and black slots, that you should be populating with the blue slots. I mean, the server manufacturers provide with manuals. They provide manuals that give you instructions on how to populate the memory. So you would follow the blue slots and then on one DIMM per channel. And then you would then fill up the black slots. They also have options in the BIOS. You can run the server in a power kind of saving mode where the memory may be clocked down, because the faster you go, similar to a car, the faster you go, the more you will be consuming power or petrol. So you have different settings. You have performance settings in the BIOS or power saving settings. So you can tweak those. There's another important point in terms of memory technology is you have different technologies available. You have, for example, load reduced DIMMs, which offer very high capacity modules. You have registered DIMMs, which offer the kind of mid-range, and this is the technology that is mostly used today. However, these two memory technologies cannot be mixed. So if you're in a situation where you want to upgrade a server, the first question you need to ask yourself is, what is installed in my server? Because if you have registered DIMMs installed and suddenly you install load reduced DIMM in that same server, then you will have a problem. It will not work and will not boot. Questions like that, we are here to help everyone to discuss. Yeah.
You were talking about power consumption. Ferdy, is Does memory have a strong impact on the power consumption of the server?
Yes, it's going back to the lanes again, you know. Absolutely, it's one of those. It's not only we could add power to that list. Speed, power, capacity, all basically on the same list.
And is that also something that you guys at Kingston are working on to create, that every new generation is trying to be more efficient with the power, or are we still focusing on building Ferraris and large trucks more than on building very fuel efficient vehicles?
I think as we move down in terms of lithography, again, going back to that transition from 8 gigabit to 16 gigabit, you will have definitely benefits in terms of power consumption. So, yeah, the processes are getting more efficient. Similar to the processes, as you shrink the lithography, in terms of nanometers, then the processes are getting more efficient. So similar concept with the memory. Going back to the example of filling up the server. So if you decide, okay, let's say 16 gigabyte memory modules are probably more cost effective today. So I'm going to fill up my server with 16 gigabyte memory modules. So by filling up the server, the memory speed first is very likely to clock down. So you will lose in memory throughput. Secondly, by filling up all those memory slots, you will be drawing more power than if you fill half the memory slots. So this is where the question, and this is a discussion we have with our customers. You know, would I be better off maybe buying 32 gigabyte memory modules and leaving slots empty? You will draw less power. The memory will run at a faster speed since it will be running in one DPC, one DIMM per channel. And in terms of scalability, I will be able in 6 months down the line to add memory to my server. So those are questions that, there's no right or wrong, but we're trying to kind of open the eyes of the customer and work with them to give them the most suitable solution for their needs. And this is where people do make mistakes. I've seen mistakes being made in terms of upgrading with the wrong memory technology and it didn't work, looking into the future and looking into what are we going to be doing with that server in the next 6 months or years time. And I think this the transition from 8 gigabit to 16 gigabit is also tying very well into the discussion we had in a previous podcast in terms of migrating to NVMe. We discussed the benefits of that. And now that we also have that 16 gigabit potentially not being compatible with older generation servers, maybe now is a good time to question, whether we should be migrating or refreshing the hardware so it is compatible with NVMe and maybe also with those 16 gigabit memory modules.
If I have a large server park and I upgrade to a newer technology, I upgrade to more capacity, I upgrade to a newer approach, is it easy to reuse my existing memory for? I mean, do you guys help customers to find another use for it, to help or to recycle it to another customer, to etc.? What's the process there?
What I see from all the hyperscalers, the data center customers I work with, is sometimes it will be in phases. They will refresh their hardware in phases, and they will still maintain older generation hardware. Because obviously it's a high investment. You can't just throw them away or recycle them that easy. So they will be buying new gear and then test maybe how efficient it is and maybe what the performance is. But they will still be keeping some of the older gear which has been proven to be working fine. Because what you have to remember is by buying new gear, you also have the problem of early potential failures and maybe things that are not tweaked sufficiently, and so they will always have a safe, use the older gear, maybe take the memory modules from some of the servers they recycle and boost up the memory capacity of the older servers, and then look into new gear. Yeah.
And especially with larger server farms, basically indeed reuse them somewhere else, or as long as it's not in the mixed memory kind of in a similar service, but indeed we see a mixed use of it. And indeed there, it's just like Adrian said, it's still working. So you don't need to get rid of it. And keep in mind as well is that the work happening on us on our backside as well is there is a lot of R&D involved. We work with all the partners, industry partners around the globe, name them, and yeah, we work them. So this transition is already happening. We know it's coming, and we already work and test on the backside of that with prepare customers like scenarios. And yeah, we've got so much data on hand where we say as well, yeah, please join us in that conversation, and we could help and guide you to make the right decisions on that.
To finish this conversation then, can you remind us what is the best way to get in contact with you, to ask a question if you have questions about the usage of your memory and you need advice from Kingston?
So we have a lot of information on our website. If you go to kingston.com, you have different pages. You can choose whether it's SSD or DRAM, and you know, in our solutions pages, we have a lot of white papers. We've been working with our marketing department to educate our customers, and we also have a service called Ask an Expert, in which you have a form that you can fill in. There's not that many questions, just maybe what you know, what's your name, what's your email address, and then what's your server, and what do you want to achieve with your server, whether it's for SSDs, whether it's for DRAM. And by providing the server model and processor model, we can advise you as to what best memory technology to use, but also you know, what one memory configuration we would advise, whether you're looking for performance or capacity, and we will look at all the different aspects we've been discussing, whether scalability, future use. We're going to look at the memory speed. We're going to look at you know, whether to choose if it's a registered DIMM or LRDIMM you should be using, or whether you should be using 8 gigabit or 16 gigabit. But I think one question you should really ask yourselves today is if you're thinking about refreshing the hardware, or if you're thinking about keeping all the hardware, please do contact us, because there is definitely next year will be a bit challenging to upgrade those older servers. So now is a good time to really ask yourself those questions and consider doing a last purchase for these to support those older servers, or potentially migrate to those new 16 gigabit based memory modules.
Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.